Grace and mercy and peace to you. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. The word of the Lord that we consider together today is today's gospel from Mark chapter 16. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, dear fellow children of God, I don't have to tell you how real the power of death is in our lives. Death has the power to stop us right in our tracks. That phone call comes about a loved one or close friend, and suddenly everything else we had planned for that day doesn't matter nearly as much anymore. Death has power to cause regrets. We think of things we wish we had done before it was too late. On the day that my father died, I went at 6 o'clock in the morning to the care center where he spent his last 2 days. I walked into his room and everything was quiet. A nurse had checked him about an hour before and told me that he had opened his eyes, something that he had not been able to do the day before. And I regretted not going there earlier, since I was awake anyhow. Death has power to bring grief from places so deep inside of us that we didn't even know existed. The sight of a favorite place, the sound of a song can trigger tears even years after a loved one's death. A new ache or pain or increasing weakness can make us wonder how much longer until death comes for us too. There is no relief from that painful grip of death that impacts us in so many ways. Or is there? On that first Easter Sunday morning, three women were on their way to Jesus' grave. They had seen the dreadful details of the reality of Jesus' death. They had seen those wounds inflicted on his body, the thorns, the cuts of the whip, the nails in his hands and feet. They had listened to his anguished cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? They had seen his labored breaths cease after he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. They had witnessed the soldiers confirming Jesus' death with that spear driven deeply into his side. They had watched as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea wrapped Jesus' body in burial cloth and placed it in a tomb not far from the cross. And they had seen that big, heavy stone rolled in front of the entrance of that cave-like tomb. And as they struggled to make sense of all the things that they had seen that day, one thing was undeniably real. Death had taken Jesus away from them. What would they do now? The one they trusted was dead. They could not do anything for one whole day because the Saturday Sabbath required them to rest. But as soon as they were able, early on Sunday morning, they were on their way to the grave with burial spices to finish giving Jesus' body a proper burial. Death's grip on them was as real as their grasp of those spices in their hands and as heavy as that stone that blocked Jesus' grave. And suddenly they wonder, how could they ever get that stone moved? But instead of giving up, they kept on going. And when they arrived, that big stone was not where they expected it to be. As they entered the grave, they saw someone dressed in white that they were not expecting to see. And the body of Jesus that they were expecting to see was not there. Their minds swarmed with confusion and fear. And that one dressed in white was an angel who said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Jesus' body had really been there. Jesus had really died. But now there was a new reality. Jesus is alive. The power of death holds him no more. The women would see and touch him soon. But before that, the angel said to them, "See the place where they laid him. The burial cloths were still there, all neatly folded up." Why did the angel tell them to look there? He tells us to look there too. Why had Jesus' body been there in that grave? Why had Jesus really died? Because of the reality of sin. When God first created this world, he did not design a place for death. God, who put Adam and Eve's bodies and souls together, never intended for death to tear bodies and souls apart. God did not plan for death to separate us from our loved ones. What caused those dreadful and painful realities that we know now? It was sin. The wages of sin, God says, is death. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought death into God's perfect world. Because you and I have sinned, we too will face death. But far greater than the sadness and grief of earthly death are the spiritual consequences. Sin separates us from our God. And we cannot undo the sinful words and desires and actions that we have done. We cannot do good to make up for them or to earn our way into God's favor. The reality is that our sins have earned for us an eternal death sentence of separation from God in hell forever. We cannot ignore that reality. God did not ignore that reality. That is why Jesus' body had been placed in a grave. And we look there, as the angel tells us, to see the reality of sin and what God chose to do about it. God placed our sin and guilt upon his own sinless Son. And look what our sin did to him. Think of a sin that you remember and the guilt that you felt or maybe still feel. Maybe others knew and you felt embarrassed or ashamed. Maybe only you and God know what happened. How could you? Why did you? But we did. And that is reality. And for that, we deserve real punishment. It was that very real burden of guilt that God placed upon his own Son. And if one sin can weigh so heavily upon us, think of a whole lifetime of our sins. That burden was placed upon Jesus. As the nails of the cross caused pain beyond what we can imagine, for my sins, he hung there those 6 long hours. For your sins, too, he hung there all that time. And with his suffering and with his death, the payment for the wages of sin has been made. The work to pay for sin is completely done. We see that reality as we look at that place where Jesus' lifeless body was laid to rest on Good Friday afternoon. But look again. That place is empty. Jesus has risen. God says this is his way of declaring a not guilty verdict. verdict. The religious leaders were determined to make Jesus guilty of something so that they could put him to death. They brought false charges against him and convinced the authorities to crucify him. And as he hung there between those convicted criminals, he sure looked guilty. And those who wanted him dead must have rejoiced when his body was locked away in a grave. But God the Father had something to say. As Jesus walked out of his grave, God the Father said, "My son is not guilty." And in the resurrection of Jesus, God says something to you too. Because he placed our guilt upon Jesus, and Jesus carried it to the cross, and he left it there. Your guilt is not on you anymore. In addition to this, God now wraps you in the holiness and righteousness of Jesus. And he looks at you and he sees you in Christ and he says, "You are my child. Your sin is gone. You are not guilty." This is your new reality in the resurrection of Jesus. Believe this good news and receive this gift of life in Jesus that is new every day and forever. And as the women looked at that empty place in Jesus' grave and heard the message, "He has risen," then the angel said to them, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." The women didn't need to finish Jesus' burial that day. Their lives had a brand new reality. Lives of joyful, thankful service to a living Lord. And by faith in Jesus, that is your reality too. In Colossians chapter 3, we hear, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above." The power that raised Jesus from the grave has raised you to brand new life in Christ. A life that looks up to a living Savior. A life that delights to hear and to learn his word. A life that turns away from selfish sin and seeks to serve the Savior and others. A life that reflects the reality of Jesus' resurrection. I read recently that for the first time, the United States did not make the top 20 on the list of happiest countries in the world. Do you consider yourself to be a happy person? What does it take to be happy? How about this? The Apostle Peter, who saw the reality of Jesus' resurrection, shares this reality with us. He said, "In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Your Savior lives. He lives to bless you with his love and to give you hope, sure and certain hope. He lives and directs all things for your good, both now and for eternity. And even when that is difficult to see, please remember the reality of Jesus' resurrection. As Mary Magdalene was on her way to tell the disciples about the angel at the grave, Jesus himself appeared to her. At first, she did not recognize him. Not until he spoke her name, Mary. And the sound of her Savior's voice dried her tears, and in an instant brought her from the depths of grief and fear to heights of boundless joy. Because standing right in front of her was the reality that death no longer has the final say. The reality is that there is life beyond death for those who believe that Jesus rose from death. Remember that reality when death comes for a loved one who dies in Christ. Remember that reality when you think about your own death. Your Savior knows your name. On the day of his glorious return, you will hear his voice. Even if you die before that time, you will hear his voice and you will live. The same body that you have now will be raised and glorified to live forever. In our first reading, we heard how Job declared that reality when he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes." And this is and will be your reality too, because Jesus lives. For now, the reality of death is painfully evident in and around us. But the resurrection of Jesus redefines reality. As Jesus walked out of his grave that Easter Sunday morning, he changed both our eternity and the way that we live now. Remember the resurrection of Jesus and the reality that that proclaims. That empty place in Jesus' grave announces forgiveness of your sins, that frees you to a life of joyful, thankful service to a living Lord. Jesus, who rose from death, promises that those who die believing in him live even when they die. That reality gives you hope even as you grieve. That empty place in the grave of Jesus announces to you that your grave will one day be empty too, directing you to the eternal reality of life in heaven, where death and grief will be no more. That is resurrection reality, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.